understand 7 a.m. is very early for many of us, but we make it. This morning at 6:45, I counted, there were already 15 members sitting here. In quietness, they start to worship God. I was very touched. By 6:50, I counted again. We had more than 20. I praise the Lord for each and every one of you. And we worship God in quietness. And we also make a joyful noise to praise Him and to worship Him. And of course, when we worship, we listen to His word. And today we are coming to John chapter 9. And we can see the confrontation with Jesus were building up, in fact, to a very heated point. In chapter 8, from chapter 7, we saw the confrontation. And it was built up in chapter 7, and even worse in chapter 8. But come to chapter 9, people were plotting to kill him. But before I go to John, and we have been following this line for quite some months, but I want to take this opportunity to tell you from Thursday onwards, I'm going to preach on the book of James, which is another exciting book in the Bible. So may I urge you to prepare yourself, if possible, come and listen to James Thursday and Friday. Then there will be another two sessions in end of June during my next visit. And before you come, try to read through the book. It's only 5 chapters. You can read through the whole book in less than 10 minutes. But please read 50 times before you come. Oh, I'm not joking. It's not 3 or 5 times. Try. Read 50 times. And maybe when you come on Thursday, you find that, oh, reading 50 times is still not that enough, because the Word of God is so rich. I have with me only the last 30 copies of the notes in Chinese. So those who want only 30 copies, I think I put it at the info desk after the service. It costs 100 peso each. And if you don't really have to buy, if you have a computer, I can give you the soft copy free. Just transfer to your thumb drive. And I have the English, the notes in English in hard copy. I will get the office to photocopy and make it available to those who are English speaking. But the notes is quite outdated because it was done 20 years ago. But it still can be used, I assure you. And all of you will be able to understand and appreciate the book of James, which is one of the very difficult books in the Bible. But this can be treated as postgraduate lecture as well. So this is really for all of you. Let's spend some time to appreciate and really learn it in depth, at least a book of the Bible. Okay, now we go back to John chapter 9. This morning we have read through once, but I can tell you, reading through once is almost useless. If I ask you, what have you listened just now? Can you pick up one or two verses? It may not. You may remember one or two verses or one special word that struck you. That is good. But you really need to read through again and again. And most of the chapters in John are fairly long. And there is no exception for chapter 9. But as we look at chapter 9, from the very first verse, give you a background. When Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. He saw someone who was blind. And by one look could be, Jesus knows, this is not something that happened after birth, but since birth, this man was blind. And the disciples saw as well. And they had questioned, and straight away they asked, who sinned, this man or his parents? I think when we see something or we hear something, we tend to start to ask, or maybe you put in your opinion. I think I shared with you some time ago, we must differentiate what is fact and what is opinion. Try to look at the fact and try less to give your opinion. Look at the fact first and think through before you jump to an opinion. So actually, when you look at the questions put forth by the disciples, they have some preconcept. They thought it must be someone who had sinned that caused this blindness. So they asked, who sinned, this man or his parent? But this was not quite the reason. And Jesus had a far better answer. He said, the work of God might be displayed in him. The work of God. God, in his nature of merciful and righteousness, would turn this so-called bad thing into something great and to prove his glory. But please, don't quote this verse out of context. I never use this verse when I visit a terminally ill patient, unless you are very sure this is really from God. You don't quote one verse out of context. This verse is used only in this situation and used only once in the whole Bible and only in John chapter 9. So don't take it out of context and apply in another situation. But when people saw all this had happened, they couldn't believe their own eyes. When they saw this man, they knew him who was blind since birth. But now, this same man could see. And some asked, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? But how come he could see? And there are many more opinions who come in. Why and how this blind man could see? And the answer was straightforward. Because many witnessed that Jesus opened his eyes. But how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? Why they refer Jesus as a sinner? Very simple, because he did this on Sabbath. He sinned against the law of Moses, and this is terrible. How can? And they start to argue. But they could not deny the fact, the very fact before their eyes. This man was blind but now sees. as simple as that. So how to tally these two? A sinner did such a thing, but this man really could see. But how? They did not know. They did not want to accept the fact his eyes were opened by Jesus. But how he now sees, we do not know. They try to deny. And when Jesus continued to teach them, they came with this word, would you teach us? In another word, who are you? Who are you who dare to teach us? And you can see from all these introductions, certain things, certain language, or the style of speaking, you can hear it today, especially in the church context. Nothing new under the sun. So I tell you, this chapter is relevant to us. Of course, you can see. You are not blind. But this passage, Jesus healed the blind, is still related to us. And Jesus is speaking to us again. And we can put us in the situation. You could see yourself as a spectator. You happen to be there. You heard the conversation. You saw the blind man who can see now. And you see all this action. And can you relate that to your own life? What is this passage trying to tell us? So I would like to change a bit to share with you from born in darkness to light. If we look at the history recorded in the Old Testament, all of us would like in Egypt, just like the Israelites, they were in Egypt as slaves. We were slaves of sin. We live in the darkness in Egypt. But praise God, God sent Moses to bring the Israelites out from the land of slavery and raise up Joshua to lead them into the promised land. And today we praise God. God sent his son, Jesus, who brought us out from the darkness, from the bondage of sin, and we are in the grace of Christ Jesus. But as we now in the grace, we look back and compare our life with this blind man. So when we were blinded in the bondage of sin, we are no different from this blind man who was born blind. And the only thing he could do is to beg. Begging was his occupation. He had nothing better to do. And whether you are rich or poor, whether you are educated or not, when we are in sin, in darkness, in the bondage of sin, we are no different from a beggar. But praise God, Jesus came. He came. He died for us, and he is risen. You don't just know this by theory. You must have a willingness to listen, to believe, and to turn to him. And this willingness is very important. So in verse 7, this man, this blind man, went and washed as instructed by Jesus. Have you in your life responded to what Jesus had instructed you? Can you recall? Did you, in any point of your life, you listen to the word of God and you said, I want to react upon it, and you did. If you have done something along this line, I praise God for you. I give thanks to God for what you have done. And if you have done that, I believe you should have experienced the same thing. You came back seeing. You started to see. When you read the Bible, the Word of God will come alive. When you listen to the sermon, you could feel you are fed. You receive the joy from the Word of God. And you could see what Jesus is leading you and changing your life. I do pray and hope that each and every one of us would experience that. But who is this Jesus? Why the disciples were following him? They continue to receive his teaching. So we are today. And there were many others who just come and look, see what is going to happen. They don't quite know and understand Jesus. But this man who was called Jesus, and this English word is not very well translated, actually. When we say Jesus, what do you mean? The correct pronunciation should be Yeshua. And in Hebrew, it means the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who is here to save us. And this is the meaning of Jesus. So when you say Jesus, it doesn't carry out the meaning. But if you say, the one who is coming to save me, and you shout out to this name, my Savior, and you would understand. Oh, this man, his name is the Savior. He is here to save us. But who is he? By one look, he is no different from any one of us. He is a man, dressed like us, or like the people during the time. And they thought he may be a prophet, someone a bit more special than just a normal man. And he is from God. Who dare to say that? Jesus said it openly, I'm from God. I know who sent me, but the people had doubt. And even the one who was healed, his eyes opened. He said, who is the Son of Man, sir? By addressing him, sir, of course, it was respectful and really polite, but it still remained as a man. But who is the Son of Man, sir? Even the blind would not understand. But when Jesus answered him, the one who is speaking to you is him. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. I think all of us must go through a process. I encourage you to ask. You can cast doubt, you can ask questions, you can challenge, but find the answer carefully from the Bible. And once you have found the answer, I believe, then you will really come and say, Lord, I believe. I do not want any one of us, me included, to believe blindly or some blind faith. No, our faith should be built on the foundation of the Word of God. But while doing that, we know this world of disbelief, there are a lot of people who cast doubt and even shake your foundation of faith. And same thing, during Jesus' time, these people exited as well. So these people, they were still in the darkness. And if I pick up some verses from chapter 9, you will see it clearly. First thing, neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar. They just simply could not believe this is exactly the one who was born blind. No, it could be another person. It cannot be him. So even seeing something real, they deny the fact. So today, if your friends, even your family members, rejected what you had experienced, you don't have to be amazed, because they disbelieve. And the way the Pharisees behave, they thought they follow the law of Moses. And they asked and would not believe Jesus is from God. And this group of people, represented as the Pharisees, they do. If we bring that into the context of church today, this is not the group that is outside the church who are not believing, but this is the group of people in the church, but they don't believe. They may say, "Lord, my Lord," but in their heart, they don't quite believe. So, where is your stand? There will be Pharisees around us, but I do understand you yourself would not want to be one of them. And we have to make some effort to move away from that. The Pharisees is good in pointing finger at others, but they don't point the finger to themselves. They even point finger to Jesus. And what about the Jews, the rest? They did not believe this man who is now able to see. But he was the blind. No, it could not be. It should be another person. And what about the parents of this blind man? There should not be any mistake whether this is their son or not. People may say, "Oh, he looks alike." He may not be, but not the parent. The parent knew well, "This is my son." And they knew as well, he was born blind. But now, because of the pressure from the Jews and from the Pharisees, they could only say, "Oh, we did not know who opened his eyes," because they do not want to get into troubles with these religious people. They had the power and the authority to stone them to death. And today, we may be under some sort of social power as well. It may not happen in this part of the world, but in some part of the world, they have to believe Jesus in secretive. They do not dare to allow others to know that they believe in Jesus. They could not openly say, "I believe in Jesus," because that would be the end of their life. But praise God, there are still people boldly believing. It may not disclose their belief, but deep in their heart, they know. But what about us? We have the freedom to express our belief, but do you? When you have a meal with your friends, would you pray openly before them? They may tease you, laugh at you. "Oh, I'm going to pay for this lunch. Why you give thanks to your God? You should give thanks to me." Simple thing like this. Would you stand up and say, "No, this is my belief. I praise God. He is my Lord. I give thanks to Him for everything that I receive." So would you stand up for Jesus? And when Jesus opened the eyes of this blind man, it's not just doing something good to this person, just this person alone, but for the good of everyone, especially the disciples. So today, as we are following Jesus, we must learn from this. And Jesus said, "Work the works of him who sent me while it is day." And this is important. When you are young, serve God. I have seen some, I would say, abnormal situation. Many people, when they are very old or very sick, then they will say, "Lord, if you give me more years, I will serve you." Whenever I heard this, in my heart I say, it would be good if you said it earlier. Then you give more of your good years, your healthy years, to serve God and his people. Of course, when you are old, you still can serve him. But it may not be or similar to when you were young. So I urge you, serve him as early as possible. I do understand many Christians or those who are serving God may have one regret. Oh, what regret do you have as Christian? Many regret why I turned to the Lord so late. And this is the regret. If I would believe him earlier, my life would be different. If I have decided to serve him earlier, it would be different. And that is the regret of many. So why it is day, do his work. Simply because the night is coming. The night is coming, and you don't know when he will come. And Jesus said, night is coming when no one can work. Of course, there will be time we are not able to work. And it's very simple. When we are old, I think it will be the time that we step down and let the young, the new blood, to take over. And I long to see that. I urge the younger one, overtaking the past generation. Then we can improve. And Jesus proclaimed in verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." You may not appreciate light in this part of the world because we have lots of sunshine. I just came back from England. And whenever there is a sunshine day, you can see the face of the English people is different. They start to smile. And they, because they don't have too many days of sunshine in the year. And over here, we complain the sun is too strong. And even in the night, we don't quite appreciate light because we just, you have light. But in some places of the world, they appreciate light. They appreciate the sunlight and appreciate that you have a candlelight or from the oil lamp. But Jesus said during the time where light was very important and very lacking, and also the other element, water, was very important. So Jesus said, "I am the living water, flowing without ceasing." And Jesus proclaimed, "I am the light of the world." Those people during the time could understand maybe better than us today. But in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus proclaimed, "You are the light of the world." And we have to link these two together. Because Jesus is the light of the world, and he passed on to us. And he wants us to become the light of the world as well. And we can never do that with our own effort, but with Jesus. And how are we going to be the light of the world? John further expounded that. And through this particular miracle, Jesus caused us to see. And Jesus told this man who was born blind, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." When Jesus proclaimed he is the Son of Man and he is from God, the blind man could not understand, although at that time he could see already. But Jesus said, "You have seen him. It is he who is speaking to you." And now he really sees. So no doubt, you could see since birth all the way until today. But do you really see Jesus? And today, my Lord and your Lord, the Lord Jesus, is going to open our eyes and cause us to see. But how can we see? And we go back to the healing process. Jesus did something very different. And he said, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." And that is the pool just down at the bottom of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Why did Jesus take the trouble? Jesus can just say, "Your eyes is open," like he did outside Jericho to another blind man. Or Jesus can just, and the eyes of the blind is open. But why this particular time Jesus took the trouble and want this man to take the trouble while he was still blind, walk a distance to the pool of Siloam? And our Bible, both English and Chinese, give us the translation of Siloam, and it means sent. Unless you are sent, otherwise, I'm sorry to say, you have not really seen. Yes, you can see, but unless you understand what is being sent, otherwise, you still in the darkness. You could not see. But what does it mean being sent? You are sent. And you need to work the works of him who sent me. So again, we come back to the issue. What is doing the work of God? In chapter 6, Jesus said, "Believe in me." And that is doing the work of God. We have touched on that. And then now, in chapter 3, verse 3, chapter 9, the work of God might be displayed through each and every one of us. God has a plan for you, a good plan, so that through you, the works of God might be displayed, for you to see and for many more others to see. And because he is the light of God, of the world, and we are to be the light of the world. We don't produce the light, but we just a transferer, transferring the light of Jesus through us and to shine it onto the world. And how could we do that? And we come back to this process. The blind man said, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." And this is the process you and me are supposed to take. If you have taken, praise God for that. But that leads us to another big question. Why did Jesus do this? Why couldn't he just heal this man? And what did Jesus do? He did something really funny. He spat, pui, on the ground. And then make mud with the saliva and put it on the eyes. How did you feel? If you were the blind, or you were the person standing beside Jesus, you saw this happen, or as you read the Bible, what is your feeling? I think the very first feeling is so unhygienic. And the second feeling you should have, why Jesus did that? It seemed like humiliating this sick person. How could he do that? And let me explain to you, there is a background. Jesus did not break any law of Moses. Jesus said himself, I come to fulfill the law of Moses. I do not come to take away or break any of the laws of Moses. So don't misunderstand, Jesus broke some laws. No, he never. But in the eyes of the Pharisees, he did. Because, like in chapter 8, when the woman who committed adultery was brought before Jesus, can you remember? I shared this last month. He squat down, started to write on the floor. And there was a Sabbath day. You know, when the Jews observed the Sabbath, of course, you cannot do any work. But of course, you would do something on that day, isn't it? You still have to walk. You still have to take the spoon and then bring the food to your mouth. You do work in some ways. So the Pharisees will say some are accepted, some are not. So what are the works accepted, acceptable? Like, you must bring the food to your mouth. This is acceptable. But you cannot cook. You cannot cut vegetable or meat or whatever. You cannot. You cannot use scissor or knife on Sabbath day. And you cannot write. Especially you cannot write something that brings forth consequences. Like in modern days today, you are not allowed to sign a check on Sabbath because this is considered as work, because someone can cash the check. But you are allowed to write on the sand. When the wind blows, it's gone. No consequences. So on Sabbath, you are not supposed to write. That was the rule. But you are allowed to say, I write on my finger and show you something. You are allowed. And write on the ground, you can. But Jesus wrote on the ground, on the temple ground. That was a bit sandy. There would be some dust. But when he wrote on the marble floor, they saw could be the Ten Commandments. Just like God's finger writing on the two tablets. So they got a shock and left him one by one. And the Jews also said, on the Sabbath, we don't boil water. But unlike the Muslim during the fasting month, you know the Muslim, they observe a month of fasting. They do not swallow their saliva. Of course, the fasting month, they cannot eat and they cannot drink. But some Muslim go to the extent to say, I do not swallow the saliva. The Jews on Sabbath, they said, I do not spit. They do not pui on the ground. Why? Because the saliva mixed with the mud, they may mix something unintentional. They turn the mud into a clay or an instrument. So that is disallowed as well. But this is ridiculous, isn't it? You may produce something semi-finished product, and that is work. And Jesus purposely did that in front of the Jews. Pui! Because that is certainly not the law of Moses. And then he made mud with the saliva and applied it on the blind man. And you may feel uneasy for whatever reason. But the blind man said, he anointed me. That is the very true feeling. Only he experienced that. So regardless of what others say, this particular person said, he anointed me. He could feel there was mud. And Jesus did all this. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the next question I will put to you, have you been sent? I do believe you have seen, but are you sent? And this is important. And the Pharisees also saw what was happening. The Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I wash, and I see. And these are the process. And his personal encounter with Jesus further on. And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Can you say the same? If you have sinned, if you are washed, and you are sent, I think your worship will be different. So it's not your standard of the knowledge of music or whether you are a born singer or not. That is secondary. If you can sing, praise God. You know music, praise the Lord too. But more important is you are sent so that you can worship. But some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Are we also blind? And I think this is the question we have to examine ourselves. Can you really see or not? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. Jesus loved the Pharisees, so as Jesus loved the poor and the sick. He loves everyone. But here, I have two questions to put forth to you. Do you believe in the Son of Man? And I think many one of us will say, Amen, I do believe. But the next question is difficult. Are we also blind? Why there were certain things we just simply cannot do or not willing to do or feel that is a big burden? Let's listen to Jesus again. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. And praise God, we are able to see, we believe. But please don't turn back like the Pharisees, because those who see may become blind. I think this is not the route we are going to take. But when we admit our shortcoming, confess before him, and he said, those who do not see may see, and praise the Lord, that Jesus invites all of us to come to him and to receive the ability to see. So when you read the Bible, you will be able to see the Word of God coming to life and change your life. When you serve him, you see the glory of God in you and others. Without this, we will be like pushing a cow up to a hill, urging and urging. It may not help. But if you can see, Jesus do not need to do anything further. With his power and authority granted to you, you will serve him in the grace. And we will not be need to do any pushing. I will see each and every one of you will be able to serve, and you serve eagerly because you know the night is coming. And while it is day, let us work together. And I do believe as we move on, then naturally we go to chapter 10. That is the life abundant that is promised by Jesus. But before you could see, you cannot come to chapter 10. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your promise. And thank you for your love. And thank you for causing us to see this morning and to enjoy being a part in your work and to rejoice with you in glory. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.